The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
How do you like to be referred to? As Justine, or do you just want to go by your pseudonym of Trollman?
Whichever rocks your boat.
So how's the weather over there in Norway?
Well, actually, it's been a bit springy lately, but today the weather gods surprised us all by introducing snow into the factory again.
Yeah, we have a very strange thing like that ourselves here, where it was, I just swore it was spring, and then all of a sudden it snapped back, and it's been cold for a good week. But, you know, I like that kind of weather anyway, so it doesn't bother me.
Nah, I've been staying inside all day, so I haven't really noticed.
You know, I still got your Bumblebee sticker that you gave us from the show with the Elstorm on the refrigerator staring right at me, so.
Cool, man.
All right, so if you're ready, we can get rolling.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema and music. Tonight, our hunt for the Grail leads us to a village of trolls. We negotiate terms of surrender with the troll man himself on the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Cinema, your source for music and film that matter. Cult, underground, independent, and generally falling outside the mainstream corporate boardroom paint-by-numbers bullshit. Tonight, join us as we try not to get eaten by trolls. One of the more unique vocalists we've had on the show, and hailing from a band equal parts metal and what's been dubbed world music, this man and his bandmates have brewed up a highly unusual polterwall of the traditional pagan folk of several cultures, black metal-style vocals, and a cross between any number of underground metal subgenres, with a strong sense of humor and dancer moshability taking primacy. Following on one of the most entertaining crowd participatory shows I've been to since my days in the punk scene, they've released a new album that retains the sound fans have come to know and love while stretching the accepted template and reaching for something new and even more likable than ever. Join us for a discussion with the troll man himself, Jostein of Trollfest, only here on Third Eye Cinema. But first, just to give you an idea what we're talking about, here's Trollfest singing the praises of the trollish mad scientist, Captain Chaos.
Stop!
what's in the Third Eye Cinema. We've got a special guest tonight, Trollman of Trollfest. Stay tuned. Pirate force?
Sure, I can be Captain Chris from Aelstrom if you want that.
Sure.
God, that's all I do is put on fucking accents all day long. Ahoy there, shipmates. This is Chris from Aelstrom, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Yar.
Well,
I hate myself.
No, that was great. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
This is Adam from Tribulation, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Okay.
Here you start out.
Hi, this is Mirai from Psy, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Dr. McCannibal from Psy. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is God Minister. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
You put some echo on that.
Hi, this is Alessandropoli from Rhapsody of Fire, and you are listening to...
This is Steve Jetro Souza from Hate.
Hi, this is Alessandropoli from Rhapsody of Fire, and you are listening to a Third Eye Cinema. Enjoy!
Hi, this is James Murphy, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
This is Rick Ross from Massacre, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
This is Steve Jetro Souza from Hatred. Probably a bunch of other million thrash bands that you've heard of in the past. Anyway, you are listening to Third Eye Cinema with the G-Man, so turn it up and start a pit in your living room.
Awesome.
What's up, everybody? This is Mem from Exhumer, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Keep it locked, the thrash dial.
Awesome.
This is Tony Patel from Whiplash, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Tonight, we're talking metal, and we have with us one of the more unique vocalists we've had on the show. Hailing from a band equal parts metal and what's become termed as world music, this man and his bandmates have brewed up a highly unusual potable of the traditional pagan folk of several cultures, black metal-style vocals, and a cross between any number of underground metal subgenres, with a strong sense of humor and dance or moshability taking primacy. Following on one of the most entertaining crowd participatory shows I've been to since my days in the punk scene, they've released a new album that retains the sound fans have come to know and love while stretching the accepted template and reaching for something new and even more likable than ever. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce the man himself, Jostein the Trollmannen. Trollmannen, willkommen aus dritter Auge Kino.
Ah, tusen hjertelig takk. That's very good to hear.
For those who don't know Trollsprach, I just welcome him to Third Eye Cinema in German, one of the languages it appears to derive from.
Yeah.
So, now, you guys have been around since at least 2004, but my first experience with you was 2 years back with Brummelbossen, which is a very different animal than your current record. You tended to favor blast beats and a suffocation-inspired condensed musical idiom, with everything sort of cramped into speedy little phrases offset by obvious thrash influences, and then adding traditional folk instrumentation on top. So yes. The first question is, what was the inspiration to pull these very different idioms, you know, death metal, thrash, traditional folk, all this stuff together?
It came from several different influences, I guess, but one of the common denominators musically in the band when we started it was Mr. Bungle.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, growing up listening to that, I've always been a huge fan of music that surprises you the first time you hear it through, you know, music that blends in genres that don't necessarily or normally fit together, but manages to squeeze the two together and make it work, despite being very, very different genres.
I never would have picked up Mike Patton, but that, now that you say it, it's there.
Well, I wish. I pray to Santa every Christmas that I would have had as good a voice as Mike Patton, but unfortunately my voice is mainly good for storytelling and screaming.
Right.
So
now, obviously, the title track of Brummel Blossom was very evocative of a swarm of bees on the attack, but since I'm not that fluent in Trollsprock, could you explain what the album was about? Why bumblebees?
It was, usually we have, or at least for the last three or four albums, we introduce a new troll character to our lyrical universe every record. And last, Brummelbossen was about, Brummelbossen is a troll, and he is basically the beekeeper and the mead brewer for the trolls in the troll village. So that's why the album was a little bit bee-themed, I suppose, because of his love for the bees and for honey and for insects in general. He's also a bit of a hobby botanist.
Because when we saw you come out on stage in a bee outfit, my wife's like, why is he doing that? I'm like, I don't know. It's for a joke.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
The album prior to that, which I believe is The Quest for the Holy Grail in German, I was just saying Heiliger Gral or whatever. What was that one about?
There was actually, I think there were three new characters for that album, but the main character is a troll called Karve, who this whole album takes place, I don't know, maybe 1,000 years ago. It's a concept album, just like the new one, Captain Chaos, is.
Right.
It's got like one story going throughout the lyrics. And the Inquest for the Heiliger Gral was about five trolls deciding to search for the Holy Grail because trolls eat Christians and Christians seek the Grail. So they went out and they found the Grail and they brought it back to the troll village. So now all the Christians seeking the Grail will end up in the troll village and the trolls will have instant free fast food delivery.
So was there a similar story going on with Brummelbossen?
That was more like a collection of stories featuring Brummelbossen. It wasn't one long continuous story. It was more like, small. Each song was like a small adventure or just explaining one of his functions or stuff like that.
I think it's amusing and quite Tolkien-esque, but why did you decide to perform entirely in the trollish language?
When we started the band, we really wanted to sing in German because the German language can be really aggressive and really harsh sounding.
Very much so.
And especially I thought that the harsh sounds of the German language would go really well with the metal style of singing. So I wanted to sing in German, but none of us spoke German well enough to write any sort of meaningful lyrics in German. So we ended up writing the lyrics in Norwegian, and then afterwards we'd sit down with a, old school hard copy German-Norwegian dictionary, and then we'd just switch out words, When the German word fitted the rhythms better, we would use the German words, and when not, we'd use the Norwegian words.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work just for, I don't know if it's like a conceit of the band or a gag or both.
I don't know. It was fun at the time. It's still a little bit of fun, but I do have to say the participation of the German language in the lyrics have been toned down slightly.
Yeah.
So, like, for the new album, a lot of the lyrics are more or less completely in Norwegian.
So you have a reasonably unique vocal approach, which is part shrieked in an almost early Borzum style and partly inhaled like Francis Storm of Master's Hammer. So can I infer from this that you come from more of a black metal background?
I do, yeah. Well, black and folk metal, actually. First and foremost, I started out as a drummer, and I'm still a drummer. I mean, I couldn't hit a nice note to save my life, but I can play drums for you for hours without people getting bored. So yeah, I didn't put that much thought into my vocal approach. It was more like I tried screaming until I found a way that I could scream without it hurting too much, and the voice just came out like this. Also, it's kind of funny for me, at least, to hear, like, from our first album and up until the last album, because you can hear that my voice has changed a lot since I started screaming, which is probably due to the screaming. But I don't know, I guess the main influence for for doing the vocals the way I did them is another Norwegian folk metal band called Einherjer, which is like, they're actually, they originated from my hometown where I was born. So, yeah, naturally they would become a little bit of an influence in that sense. But yeah, it's mainly been a metal / black metal, folk metal, something influence for me vocally.
You seem to consider yourself, from what you were just telling me, something of more of a drummer than a vocalist. So what made you take the vocal chair?
Well, when we started Trollfest, it was, to begin with, it was just me and the guitar player. And we sat down and I programmed some drums and then he put some guitars on it. And I'm not sure, but I think we might have done rock, paper, scissors on who was supposed to scream on it. At least it ended up being me, because I had sort of, I'd never been singing in any bands before that, but I'd always had, you know, an inkling towards it, you know, sort of like, it would be cool to try, you know. So I did, and it kind of worked. And then when we started, well, basically later that night, two other friends of ours came over to, we were having a party. And then we showed them the first Trollfest song that we'd written, and they were like, oh, cool, can we join the band? And we were like, yeah, sure. And it turned out one of them was a bass player and the other one was a drummer. So, the drum throne was already taken by the time the band had started out properly.
Right, and I mean, I've got to imagine it's a lot more fun being out there in front of the audience as opposed to sitting behind a drum stool all night.
I like both. I do sometimes miss being behind the drum kit when I'm singing. But on the other hand, I've also played gigs where I'm playing the drums, and I sort of wish I was doing the frontman thing instead.
I think you got to do a Borzum. You got to be like a one-man band.
No, it was a little bit to do with, I'm not that much of a extreme metal drummer, you know. I can do stoner stuff and more kind of, I do a lot of, I do a little bit of jazz stuff, some bossa novas and reggae and funk and rock and stuff like that. I hadn't done any large stints of extreme metal, so
yeah,
that's also part of it.
That stuff can really wear you out. So.
Yeah, definitely.
What I want to know is, how do you manage to keep this style of vocals going for, you know, a decade, basically? I figured that, you know, you say that your vocals changed over time, but I figured you'd be speaking in a hoarse rasp by now.
No, well, you know, there are some techniques you can use. And it's also, you know, like, if you sit down for an hour and just try out different screams you can do, you know.
Right.
Some of them will be really, really painful, but then, you know, once you try and adjust them a little bit, like either pitch-wise or distortion-wise or whatever, over time you can find, you can find a bit like an area of singing where it doesn't necessarily hurt your voice as much as it sounds like it should.
Right.
Yeah. And also I think it's also a little bit of, you know, practice, basically. And the fact that, you know, I don't know what this is called in English, but if you take all amount of toxin every day for 10 years, you'll be a little bit immune to that toxin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and the same thing with the voice as well. You know, if you scream every day for 10 years, it's going to hurt slightly less after 10 years.
So, obviously, you guys are all Norwegian, and having some roots there myself, I think it's safe to say that it's not a nation greatly renowned for its boisterous sense of humor, and yet there's Trollfest. I mean, your website has you citing quotes from Nietzsche on one hand, then Woody Allen, Viv from the Young Ones, and a 5-year-old girl on the other. And Dr. Leaf is starting his own advice column, I see. So where does all this off-kilter comedy and the twinkle in the eye come from?
I wouldn't know. I don't know. It's just the kind of goofy dudes we are. We tend to have a lot of fun when we're together. And also the main goal of Trollfest since day one has been to entertain ourselves and, you know, to have some fun and get some good laughs. So I guess that's where it's coming from, or at least the comedy bits and the funny parts are coming from that point of view, I suppose.
Obviously, you're part of a small but growing musical idiom relating to trolls with a sort of drunken party or pagan festival feel married to an underground death or black metal sound. As there aren't a hell of a lot of acts doing this sound that I'm aware of, I have to ask, were you greatly inspired by Finn Troll?
Yes. We were. When we started out the band, me and the guitar player, we were huge fans of Finchel, and I think part of the reason why we started the band was because we'd listened so many times to the Finchel record that we were sort of getting bored with it. Not because it's bad in any way, but because we'd played through it 500 times, you know? And he didn't have any other CDs lying around at the time that we really liked. So we decided to make some drinking music for ourselves, basically. So, yeah, Finchel were definitely like a major inspiration for the first two albums. But then when we started writing the third album, we sort of departed a bit from that tribute act, I suppose you could say.
Right.
And decided to do, basically we were looking out at a bunch of the pagan scene, and we started to notice that usually all the bands were combining metal with Scandinavian folk.
Right.
You even had bands from England and Germany and Hungary and all of these different parts of the world with their own sort of strong cultural folk heritage music that they could draw inspirations from. And they still went for the Scandinavian folk. So we decided that, well, one of the coolest folk music genres we know of is the Balkan music, the Eastern European folk music. So we went, well, if they're going to do Scandinavian, then we're going to do Balkan, you know? the third record, we pretty much went all out and tried to make a record exclusively combining Eastern European folk influences and metal.
Right.
And then it's kind of from there, it's sort of slowly been evolving into including any sort of world music genre that we can come across and that we enjoy.
Yeah, and to that point, there's more than a dash of Heino and the German Oompa sound to your music, particularly given all the accordion work from Moscow. I mean, there's even some lineage to the polka, so that's not exactly a hip style to cop to, so I find it kind of amusing. Were you guys into that sort of thing, like, you know, Jimmy Sturr and his polkas and the local Oktoberfest beer hall sound?
Some of it, yeah. I do enjoy some of that music.
Ein, zwei, super.
Yeah, well, you know, it gets boring if you're listening to only that for about 30 minutes.
Exactly.
But, you know, in the middle of a party when you've been listening to metal for 2 hours, you put on one of those tracks and the place is going to be rocking.
I can do that. So last November, obviously, we were lucky enough to catch you at a surprise show with Alestorm and Gypsy Hawk. And as I pointed out in coverage of the event, you guys are really the standout. I am still holding a grudge on Mr. Seidel for not throwing a pick my way, though.
I'm sure he'll oblige you next time we come around.
It was a weird show, wasn't it? I mean, forget everything else. It was a strange venue to see, like, a European pagan pirate troll metal show at. And I thought you guys were going to fall off the stage or something. There was too many of you on there on that tiny little stage.
There were too many of us, and we were missing one guy. So,
yes.
That definitely was a really weird evening. That gig will go down in my memory book as one of the weirder ones. It was good fun, though. I especially enjoyed, there was a particularly drunk guy standing pretty much right in front of me, like right in front of the stage.
Right.
And it was so funny to watch him because you could see he really, really, really wanted to do a mosh pit.
Yes.
But, you know, the place was just packed with no moshing signs.
Yep.
So, and everybody, like, when he started amping up and trying to get it going, everybody was, like, looking at him, you know, with the pointed finger and just like, no, you know. And you could see he was just struggling with himself not to just go fucking apeshit.
He wasn't the only one, but I know exactly who you're talking about there.
Yeah. There was a couple of points when I saw his facial expression and I saw him, like, he was right about to launch into it, but then he suddenly remembered that he weren't allowed to, so it turned out to a fist bump instead or something like that.
Exactly.
It was just hilarious watching his face and, you know, not just the fact that he was sort of struggling a little bit with what to do, but also the fact that he clearly really got into the music and really enjoyed it. So, you know.
And he was a big guy. I was like, you know, when he kept trying to do the pit, I was like, I half wanted to join it, and I'm half like, nah, better not. It's like getting hit by a tank. But yeah. I did get a huge kick out of two things. When Dr. Leif Konstfleisch came out to the audience right next to us and pretended to be a fan, pumped his fist in the air, I didn't even notice he was there for the first few seconds. I mean, you guys were hilarious. And despite this lack of moshing, there was a good time had by all. And you made a fan out of my wife, which is an event when it comes to metal. So thanks for the sticker. We still have it hanging on the fridge.
Cool, man. Yeah.
And so here you are a few months later with a new release, and you've toned things down a bit. I really get the impression that you're growing as musicians. There's a little less of the manic blast beat thing going on, and things appear to become more melodic. It's not like it's a complete stylistic shift, like you become a different band overnight, but there's less of that kind of crazed, unexpected type jumble of sound that Trollfest were prone to previously.
Yeah.
So what was the inspiration here?
It was a bit, well, maybe threefold even. Well, there's always the, you know, the ever-looming fact that we're getting older. We're all getting older. And also, I think actually the main reason for us personally, or at least consciously, was the fact that we've, since the first record, every record we've put out has been more extreme than the previous one, right up to Brummelbassen. Like, it started out semi-extreme, I suppose, but, you know, by the time we got to Brummelbassen, it was really, really fast-paced, extreme, frenetic shit. And, you know, like, especially for the last three records, both our drummer and our guitar players were really pushing themselves to be able to play faster, basically.
Right.
And when you're constantly getting quicker and quicker and quicker, you get to a point where it's hard to tell the difference. Like, you might spend half a year increasing or, like, getting 10 BPMs faster, but then when you sit down and you listen to what you've worked on for the last half year and where you used to be, you can barely tell the difference of how much faster you've gotten because it was fast enough to begin with.
Exactly.
And also, we've always been sort of a little bit into mixing things up and not repeating ourselves. So, yeah, after repeating the "it's going to be more extreme" praise for five albums, we thought it might be time to try going the opposite direction and basically do the unexpected thing and not become even more extreme.
But I understand that some fans are up in arms about this. You know, I guess they missed the point of sellout in the last record.
Possibly. But it's also, or I at least hope the guys who are up in arms are mostly referring to because of the single track, Ave Maria, because, well, yeah, you've heard it. So,
yeah.
I mean, there are extreme tracks on Captain Chaos as well. It's just the fact that we've also included non-extreme tracks this time around.
Exactly. Like I said, it's not like it's a completely different band overnight. It's just you've progressed. I think you've matured, if that's the right word.
Yeah, something along those lines.
And, you know, when I mentioned Sellout before, I know you were knocking Fino front of Gothic Symphonic Metal with that song, but even so, it had to be intentional given the shift in style that came after. Like, okay, look, let me put this in front of you guys. We're going to sell out. Ha, ha, ha. Go ahead and see what the reaction is.
Yeah.
But for that matter, the picture of the good captain on the cover, I mean, what's he doing? He's setting off a fuse. So I guess you had an inkling that this would sort of explode in the face of a lot of longtime fans.
Well, yeah. We didn't quite know what to expect, I suppose, when it comes to how people would react to the style change. We didn't have any sort of clear idea of this when we wrote the Sellout, but you could definitely argue that that was the beginning of trying out not so extreme stuff.
Okay, because I thought it was like a wink of the eye, like, okay, guess what's coming next, guys?
Not consciously, no. That's one of the bummers about being in a band and getting reviews and stuff, is that sometimes people come up with stuff like, oh, did you do that intentionally, or did you do that because of this and that and that and that? And you almost want to say yes, because it would have been so cool if it actually was true. But unfortunately, we're not that clever.
But all that said, I really like the new album. I mean, Brummelbassen was interesting, but it was only with the concert that I really started to pay attention to you guys seriously. And I think this one's a lot easier of a starting point for people who haven't heard Trollfest previously to get into you guys.
Definitely. I think so, too. It's, in many ways, I feel like for the last three albums before this one, we've been touching upon something really, really cool. And I think with this album, we've nailed it so much more than on any of the other three albums.
And I also noticed more of a folkish dance band feel. Like, the lilt of the music seems to have taken primacy here, with Troll Band keeping things more syncopated and even doing some countrified stutter beats on the snare. I mean, I noticed that he's a much better drummer than it seemed when he was limiting himself to that blast beat stuff.
Yeah, well, as I usually say to my friends and the other people in the band, I mean, I'm a drummer myself. I wouldn't be playing with a band if the drummer wasn't any good.
Right.
Drummers is one of the things I know. So, and not to mention the fact that, if he wasn't any good, I could probably have done a better job myself. So
that's not what I'm saying. The point is just that when he was learning himself to other stuff, you hear blast beats all the time, especially listening to extreme metal, like, as much as I do. And it's like, whatever, who cares? It was interesting when it first started, but it's not really the thing that appeals to me, because you're talking about other, coming from other genres. I come from jazz, I come from rock, I come from funk, I come from all over the place. And I like to hear syncopation and the fact that, I can pick up when somebody knows what they're doing on the kit, as opposed to just somebody that's sitting there, twiddling their fingers back and forth. I definitely heard that in this album. I'm like, wow, this guy, maybe I underestimated him. He's really pretty good.
Yeah. Well, he started out as an extreme metal drummer. That's why he started to play drums, in order to play extreme metal. But he's definitely been evolving like a motherfucker, basically. He's gotten so much better at pretty much everything.
And, it's a very diversified album. You touch on the tango and French tavern music and Sodom Stein, Gothic metal and Ave Maria, Greek taverna music and Ränkespiel, traditional Chinese people music with Kinesthetic Alchemy, and a sort of Mozart requiem of church organ, French horn, and Gregorian-style choral chanting and Fitzlaus Verkündiger. You guys aren't exactly slouches musically.
No. Well, there's seven of us in the band, and I think maybe Eastern European folk music and metal are the only two genres that are really overlapping within the band. Like, outside of that, we all listen to a shitload of different stuff. Like, our saxophone player he's really into noise music, and he's got, like, a couple of duos, sax duos and sax and drum duos that, go around and they play the pure noise music, I suppose. Yeah, our accordion guy is really into punk and ska music. Well, I'm into a lot of folk and world music and old school jazz and easy listening kind of stuff. And, shitloads of other genres as well. And our drummer is sort of a little bit into avant-garde music and pop music. The guitar players are into Metallica and, really into thrash metal and some black metal and stuff like that. And then the bass player is more into some kind of classic rock sort of stuff. And combined with all of this, we all listen to, different genres of world music and folk music from all over the world. So we draw inspiration from so many different styles of music that for us it's really, it fits well in the sort of Mr. Bungle-ish packet. In a way, or that's how I like my albums. If I buy an album and it's plain simple pop music from beginning to end, I'll get bored with it really, really easily. But whereas, any album by Ween, I'll be entertained for weeks. I'll first get into the punk songs, and then I'll get into the folk songs, and then I'll get into the pop songs, and then, it just, I don't know. I guess maybe we do it because we're afraid of being boring or something. I don't know.
Well, that's what's interesting about your stuff is that, you're pulling in all these varied influences and different sounds, very different sounds, from very different cultures, and yet it always works together. It actually ends up sounding like you the whole time through. I think that, in itself is interesting. And one song I find particularly amusing is Skullskin Medicine, where you mix this tacky Latin music, I like Ricky Martin, with this cruise ship calypso and even touches the disco at the end with your usual brand of aggressive metal. I want to go to the cabana party. What the hell?
That's a combination of many things. Like, we've wanted to do a Latino song for quite some time, and then there's the vocal bits right at the beginning that's slightly inspired by some Balinese monkey chanting. And it's usually when we start writing music for one of our albums, we all pitch in. Like, we write some stuff or record some ideas, and then we send it around to everybody else. Everybody has a listen and comments on it. I think this part was cool or that part wasn't cool. I think we should do this here rather than that there. And it, we just like, we drive all of it through the Trollfest grinder, basically. And so by the time a song is finished, you know, like, it's usually one main composer, like the guy who came up with the melodic idea or whatever. But by the time we put it on the album, pretty much everyone in the band will have added small detail or a minor key change or whatever, you know. So it's I guess maybe that's part of the reason why it comes out very, or it can come out very different from track to track.
And regardless, I haven't been able to get this one out of the player. And that's it. I've been converted. Where's my t-shirt? So do you have any upcoming tour plans for the States? And please tell me you're coming back to play Mexicali Blues.
Actually, we're going to be touring Teaneck, New Jersey. We're going to play all the venues in Teaneck, New Jersey.
I don't know if there are any.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, as of now, I don't know of any tours in the States. But we are definitely hoping to be back in the States either at the end of the year or the beginning of next year. Like, nothing's set out in stone or anything like that yet. But we're definitely looking into and hoping to come back to the States as soon as possible.
Yeah, because we'd love to see you guys again. That really was a great show.
We had a shitload of fun as well, my friend.
So did you want to point the listeners to your website or your Facebook page?
Yeah, definitely. Check out Trollfest.com or Facebook/Trollfest Official, or just search Trollfest on YouTube. Like, we're actually, I don't know when this is going to air, but we're releasing a music video from the new album tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So, just search for Trollfest on YouTube and a multitude of videos will appear.
Which track did you end up going for?
We ended up going for the title track, Captain Chaos.
Ah, good pick. With that, Jostein the Trollman, I'd like to thank you for joining me here on Third Eye Cinema, and we hope to have you back again to discuss your next album.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you again when we come touring.
Yeah, I'll have to buy you a beer or vice versa.
Cool, man. We got a date.
Take care.
Cheers, man. Bye.
And to close out our interview with Jostein, here's my favorite track off the new record, where we pay a visit to Asia's far shores. This is Kinesic Alchemy.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoy our interview with the Troll Man. Next time on Third Eye Cinema, Chris Porchanko joins us from the land down under to talk Shrimp on the Barbie, Rabbits in the Outback, and the uniquely emotional Alcy symphonic metal band, Vanishing Point. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker or a musician who'd like to join us on air, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Any part of this or any of the Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience. And next week.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Chris Pachanko. Hi, everybody. This is Chris Pachanko from Vanishing Point, all the way in Australia. You listen to Third Eye Cinema. Check it out. Crank it up.
And coming soon.
This is Dave Gaughan from the Canadian folk power metal band Scythia, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
And after that?
Name of the show is Third Eye Media, right?
Or Third Eye Cinema.
Cinema, okay, it says media here on my schedule. Okay, so Third Eye Cinema. So hey, everybody, this is Pete Ziug of Iron Savior, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Have fun and enjoy the ride.
Nice. And later in May?
Just for practice. How do I say this? Third Eye Cinema. Yeah. Okay. Hello, this is Diana van Giersbergen from Xandria and the Cleavers, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Nice. Very dramatic, too. I like that. Sort of a Maria Callas approach.
Hey, that's what I do.
I know, I heard Daughter of Corinth.
Yeah.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Doing business like a CEO while saving like a CFO.
Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss at prices that'll make your bookkeeper smile.
Now that is an achievement.
Everything from markers and pens to 2019 desk calendars.
And right now, a 12-pack of Sharpie markers and an 8-pack of Expo dry erase markers are only $4.99 each.
At Staples, where there's a whole lot in store. Ends 1/19/19 in store only.